No. Oh, you got it. Okay. Awesome. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. For those of you that came in late, Dee made a couple of announcements. Probably the most exciting one is that next week we are going to start also translating this in Spanish, not only American Sign Language. There will be a professional Spanish interpreter, and that will be done on a separate audio channel so that it is done the right way. And we are excited about that. So please get the word out. And, you know, I just wanted to stress, you know, the reason we're really doing this is for was American Sign Language to throw something out there that there would be their equivalent of tapes, videos of translators, interpreters going through the service manual. And yes, this is not part of some structure putting this event on. It's just like being on my back patio, just with a lot of us instead of five or six. But just so somebody, some people new to service might not know this, sometimes really good things start outside of the service structure. Sometimes the service structure is not nimble enough to embrace really forward-thinking great ideas. I'll give you an example. The meeting guide. The meeting guide may be the greatest thing that the General Service Office did for the fellowship in years, as far as effects on the regular member, not involved in service. Just somebody who needs a meeting. And you know, if you don't know this, the meeting guide was invented by a young man in California who tried for years to get the service structure to buy into his idea. And for years, the service structure told him to go away, that we don't do that. Your idea will never work. And as you know, a couple of years ago, AAWS bought that license for that software. And it's an amazing, amazing tool. So tonight we're talking about chapter one and chapter two. Just one more other quick announcement. I was able to secure today, finally, the last commitment. Sometimes when we go through the service manual, it's easy on the local level for you to run into a DCM or a corrections chair or an alternate delegate or a delegate and hear their reports or talk to them. And so it's a little easier for the service manual to come alive. A lot of times when going through the service manual, it's harder to do that when we talk about certain positions very low in the triangle, such as appointed committee member, non-trustee director, the three different types of alcoholic trustees, and the Class A trustee. So I was able to finally get the last commitment today. So I'll let you know that as we go through this, we will be dedicating certain weeks when we get up to that part of the service manual where we now have a commitment from a past U.S. trustee at large, a past regional trustee, a past general service trustee, a past non-trustee director, a past appointed committee member, so that, and a past Class A trustee, so that you can hear directly from them and not me and let the service manual come alive a little more as to what those roles do and how the, what kind of people serve in those positions. The other thing I want to share is I heard of a good idea recently, and I think if you stay active in AA service, I will tell you that don't be afraid of stealing good ideas. Often, there are many good ideas that someone else thinks of. When I think of becoming a new GSR, and I'm going to go into it tonight, there's so many things that go through my mind regarding, just think about how difficult it is. The only thing I can equate it to is me, young and sober, trying to get my mother a Mother's Day card. In other words, I can stay out till 3 a.m. at the young people's dance. I can go to the diner to 5 a.m. I can get up 3 hours later and play sober softball. But to actually buy a Mother's Day card, put the address on it, get a stamp, and get it to a mailbox just seemed like climbing Mount Everest, to be perfectly honest, when I was young and dumb and sober. But I use that as an example because sometimes I don't think we think enough. Just think about the group conscience setting when a new GSR is elected. Think about all the variables to actually get that person from that meeting they were elected to their first district meeting or to their first assembly. Because that really is the trick. It's easy to elect them. And a lot of areas have GSR orientations. But one of the things that I just heard that I'm going to steal and tell the world that I think it's a great idea, I hope they do it, is there is now an area in the United States and Canada that had a GSR orientation on Zoom before the actual assembly, which I think is amazing. To actually let those people come to a Zoom meeting and hear about what to expect at the assembly, it kind of reminds me of why we do corrections AA work. It's to make sure that people are familiar with what AA is when they get out so they're not too nervous to go to their first meeting. And that's why we make AA inside look like AA outside so that it's very familiar. But same with an assembly. Just think about the person who thinks they got to drive 3 hours to a whole bunch of strange people. We elect them in December or November. There might be a district meeting before their January or February assembly, but there might not be that they can get to. And I think sometimes that we don't think enough about how do we get people to their first assembly. And I don't mean like physically driving them. I mean like taking the walls down so that they feel comfortable walking in. Because there's lots of things to know that aren't in the book that I'm going to read tonight. First of all, you know, there's 200 and something people here. We have 93 different assemblies in the US and Canada. We have some that are 1 day. We have some that are 2 day. We have some that are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday over the weekend. We have all different kinds. The new GSR doesn't know what kind of assembly you have. All they know is maybe what they read in the service manual. That's why it's so important to kind of talk to them. If you're a weekend assembly, how about the secret of getting a room? They weren't GSR when the last assembly happened and they announced where the rooms were going to be, and now the room block is out. And so there are so many things to consider that I just want to stress to anybody who's going down the triangle of ways we could make it much better for new GSRs to actually want to participate, to feel that they're welcome. If you have the new service manual, I'm on page 7, chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you for sure. I hope that you've read it already. I do love the line in the first paragraph. I'll read it. While many AA members attend other groups as well, the home group is where they participate in business meetings and cast their vote as part of the group conscience of the fellowship as a whole. As with all group conscience matters, each member has one vote. So I know that sometimes it's kind of controversial, believe it or not, for a trusted servant to say you're only supposed to have one home group. But I'm going to say you're only supposed to have one home group. That's what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to only have one home group, digital or brick and mortar in person. If someone would like to send an agenda item, I would be fine with that. I honor all agenda items. But for now, we have one home group. It goes on to say the role of the General Service Representative, or GSR, is essential to the purpose of the General Service. Bill W. wrote in Concept 1 of 12 Concepts of World Service, the AA groups today hold ultimate responsibility and final authority for our world service. The role of the GSR is essential to ensuring that groups can fulfill that responsibility. Only when a GSR keeps the group informed and communicates the group conscience can the conference truly act for AA as a whole. And then it has a couple of lines, and I'm sure some people here have heard the promises read opposite. Sometimes they're more impactful, the nine-step promises. But some of these lines here, you know, when you look at them, when the GSR is present at assemblies, the group's voice is heard. What's the opposite of that? When the GSR is not present at assemblies, the group's voice is not heard. Then it says when the GSR is present, when the GSR participates, the group's voice is heard. It can be through a GSR sharing the group's conscience across a conference table from other GSRs in a district meeting. So if you have been elected a new GSR, I just want to stress to you that even if you go to your first assembly, it may look and feel like other people are in charge. But that's because over the last 40 years, AA service has become very centralized. And the districts have kind of maybe not been empowered as much as they used to be. But it's very hard to convince a new GSR. Hey, welcome, you're a new GSR, and I just want to let you know, you're really the boss of the people who sit on the dais at the assembly. You're really their boss. But the truth is, and I think this is a question we have to throw out there all across Alcoholics Anonymous, because it's easy for me, because I know all the mistakes I've made. It's easy for me to look back when I was an area chair and area delegate and say, God, if I knew what I knew today, what would I would have done different? Well, one of the things I think about is, I think about my professional life. And I think about, every once in a while, my boss comes to my office. And I think about everything we do to get ready for our boss to come to the office. We want to make sure it looks perfect. We want to make sure that we have the right coffee. We have somebody stop for bagels and donuts on the way to work. We make sure that everybody's office and cubicles look neat and tidy. We make sure that there's no inappropriate things hanging up in offices and cubicles. I think about that because isn't that how we should treat new GSRs coming? Shouldn't we be acting like, wow, our boss is coming to town today. Our boss is coming to the office. It goes into qualifications for GSR. I'll read what it says. Have at least 2 years of continuous sobriety. Familiar with your group's history, priorities, traditions, and procedures. Able to listen to all points of view. Have the time to regularly attend district meetings and area assemblies and the group's business meetings. Have a working familiarity with the 12 traditions and AA recovery and service literature. Have an email address or other easy way of maintaining contact with group members. Are familiar with the GSO and area websites. And then it says the term of office is 2 years. It says in many areas, GSR terms coincide with those of the panel covering the area delegate's term of service. That's not a rule. That's not exact. It's different everywhere. And then it goes into duties and responsibilities, which I think you can read perfectly yourself. I would like to focus on things that I think we probably don't talk about enough. If you get elected GSR in your group, you can see what it says here. I mean, make regular reports to the group. Well, that sounds good. That sounds like just stop drinking, you know? Make regular reports to the group. Oh, okay, just stop drinking. I'm going to just stop drinking. No, it's not that easy. When does the group like reports? How long does your group give you to give a report? What kind of reports does your group like to get? How was it done in the past? And more importantly, and this is what I want to stress the most, if what your group has been doing doesn't work, don't keep doing it. It is okay to change. It is okay to find a way that works better. And it's okay to try out a bunch of different things. What doesn't work is when somebody calls somebody and they say, just do this. This is what I did. Well, I'm here to tell you that what I did might not work in your group. That's why I think that one line is so important when it says, be familiar with their group's history, priorities, traditions, and procedures. That's traditions with a small t. In other words, not the 12 traditions, the traditions of your group. But it goes on to say, attend assemblies. Your group is in one of the 93 areas that make up the US and Canada. How many GSRs get elected in a group? Just think about this. How often is a GSR elected in a room where no one in that room even knows what area number they are? I would venture to say it's greater than 40%. Greater than 40%. So if you've been elected a new GSR, if you're here tonight or listening to this, just take the time to find out, what area are you in? One of the great things about digital technology is that you can probably go on your area website. And even if you don't know what district you're in, there's probably an email address for your area delegate or area chair. And you could just simply send them an email. And you should not be ashamed to say, I just got elected GSR and I have no idea what to do. In fact, we should encourage more people to send emails like that. And find out where your district meeting is and who your DCM or district chair is. It says regularly attend district meetings. Participating in district and area service meetings is a great way to learn about AA. And it goes on to talk about the seventh tradition. And I'm not here to tell you, again, we have over 200 people. Some groups don't like the term group conscience. They call it business meetings. Some parts of the country don't like this phrase business meetings. They call it group conscience. In some parts of the country, the group chairperson chairs the business meeting. In other parts of the country, the GSR chairs the business meeting. In some places, it's kind of custom that the GSR be the person to go to for traditions issues or questions. But that's a lot to throw on one person who just got elected, even if they serve 2 years as an alternate. The best thing a new GSR can do, I know we can get to the end of the chapter, the service sponsor. I'll read a little bit about it. The same impulse that drives new people to to try to do AA alone, drive some GSRs to try to do general service alone. There's no reason to do it. In fact, there's every reason not to. So you could get a service sponsor. You don't have to. I want to make a public service announcement. If you haven't gone through the 12 steps in the big book with a sponsor, you shouldn't be wasting your time being a GSR. It could be killing you. There is nothing more important than recovering from alcoholism. That's our top priority. Service does not keep us sober. It's part of the whole triangle, the whole ball of wax. It's not only general service. But please, don't let your personal recovery be negatively affected by any type of general service. Your life is more important than that. You don't have to get a service sponsor. You could just get someone who's familiar with your area, familiar with your district. And if it was me, I would tell the person to try and find out before they go to his assembly. Again, I mean, sometimes I really mean this. I don't think we think a lot about how difficult it is to go from that meeting you're elected to actually making it to walking into that assembly. If we could make that a little better and easier, we might have more participation. Because how many people tell the new GSR, oh, when you go to your assembly, you need to go to the sign-in table and sign in. You need to see the registrar who's going to sit in a table in the back corner. And in some areas, they use different color name tags. In some areas, it's blue tags for voting, red tags for non-voting. But a new GSR might have no idea whether they are a voter or not. A new GSR might not know that they're allowed to go to the microphone. I'm not saying I would encourage someone to go to the microphone at their first assembly. I'm just saying they should at least know that they have the right to go to the microphone. There's so many things. And the assemblies are only usually a couple a year. We have some areas with six, some area with one. The average area, I would say, the average is quarterly. But you're going to go to your first assembly and then your next one's not for 3 months and you have no idea and you don't know where to sit. You don't know how to sit with. You don't know if you're supposed to sit in a certain section. Those are all things that are not mentioned in chapter one. You can read the rest in chapter one, but it's all those little nuances. And just think about those of us that are entrenched in service. We don't think about going to an assembly. It's secondhand nature. We know what's going to happen there. We know who's going to be there. And you know, all it takes is one wrong impression for a GSR to never return. I'll pick on my old area in New Jersey. And I don't think the person meant to do anything wrong. But I had lived back there. I had been transferred, promoted for work. I moved back to the East Coast. I had just been a delegate and an area chair. 2 years after I moved back, there was a trustee at large US election that was happening. And as you know, when that happens, each area gets to nominate one person. And in that area, they had a table where anyone standing for any of the positions had a check-in. so that the chairperson could call their name when they got to that position. And when I got there, I just said my name and said that I was going to make myself available for a trustee at large US candidate. And the person came down on me like a ton of bricks. And they said, oh, you're not eligible. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure I'm eligible. Nope, you're not eligible. I'm not putting your name on this. And I said, okay. And then I went and talked to the delegate. Because the person didn't think, because I, you know, first of all, there's not even a rule in the service manual that you have to be a delegate to stand for trustee. It's nowhere written in any of the service manual. But that person just thought they were doing their job as a gatekeeper, enforcing the rules. And it wasn't going to affect me, but think about the new GSR who shows up to an assembly and, God forbid, votes wrong, goes to the microphone wrong, signs in wrong. All these things where there's going to be a human interaction, and that human interaction is really going to determine, is this new person of service going to come back to their second assembly or are they not? Because we all know lots of people make it to their first AA meeting. The trick is, are they going to make it to their second? Lots make it to their first. But it's the same way with district meetings and assemblies. Are we going to provide a warm and welcoming way to our new GSRs so that they can't wait to come back to the next assembly? And so I hope that areas can focus on that. And if you're a new GSR, I also want to tell you this. Don't let somebody take away your ability to do service. Don't give someone so much power that you don't want to come back to the assembly. We need you to come back to the assembly. We need more active GSRs. There's a couple of questions in the back. I'm not very experienced in general service. What if I make a mistake? Who cares if you make a mistake? It's, I don't know, 8:31 today. I've probably made like 17 major mistakes today in my life. And that's not counting the minor mistakes I've probably made. And this is just today. You're going to make a mistake. I mean, that question, what happens if you make a mistake? It should really say, except you're going to make a mistake. How should I notify GSO of my election? And what will I receive when I become a GSR? That's a difficult question that COVID has made a little difficult. You can let GSO, you've been, become the GSR, and the instructions are here. But the backlog on GSR and DCM welcome kits has been it's been long. And I know COVID has interfered with that and lots of problems there. But what I would tell you is don't count on getting anything from GSO quickly. What you should do, and I'm not attacking GSO. I get it that there's supply chain issues, there's delivery issues, there's work from home issues, there's all those things going on. What I would tell you is follow the instructions in number 2, but at your district meeting or assembly, talk to someone who knows, and everything that they would mail you, most of the time you can get at your assembly, or go to your central office or in a group and you can get those pamphlets and literature. It says, if I can't make the next district meeting or assembly, can I ask someone from my group to go in my place? It says all AA members may attend district meetings and area assemblies. In most areas, only GSRs and their alternates may vote. What I would tell you is, if you're a new GSR, I couldn't wait to get to this one in the back at Facts, Aims, and Questions. Every area operates differently. You could read this book 1,000 times and memorize it, and it won't help you in any of the 93 areas regarding how they do business. This book is a framework and an outline. But one of the questions you're going to want to find out is, does your area have a handbook? Does your area have guidelines? Does your area have anything like that? There's a million names out there to help you understand what role you just took on. Most of them do not let just someone show up. Most of them, you have to be the GSR and alternate and registered. And only if the GSR isn't there can the alternate participate. I don't know why this question is there. If my group wants to suggest a theme for the annual General Service Conference, is there a way for me as their GSR to bring this to AA's attention? Yeah, of course. Everybody gets a chance to put in a theme for the new General Service Conference. If no one in my group is interested in taking my place as a GSR when my term is up, should I continue until they find someone or even serve another 2-year term? Well, I'm not going to read the answer in the book. You can read the answer in the book. I'm going to give you my answer, which you don't have to listen to either. But I'm just going to pass on some AA philosophy that I was taught. You can't fill a filled position. It's just impossible. So the way to get someone not to step up is just to stay in the job. It's kind of like a good old AA meeting. You could have a new coffee and cookie person, but no one steps up, so you keep the job. So you keep showing up a half hour early, you keep making the coffee and putting the cookies out, and no one knows any better. But I'll tell you what happens when you don't put the coffees and cookies out. I'll tell you what happens when you don't let somebody stay in the job for a couple of weeks. It only takes about 1 week before someone is complaining, where's our coffee and cookies? Because when the position is open and no one's doing it, then somebody knows it's time for someone to stand up. So your group may decide to let someone be a GSR for years, and I can't do anything about that. But my experience is the way to fill a position in AA is to first make sure that it's empty. That's my experience. If there are new GSRs in here tonight, it's January 19th. I just want to spell out a couple of things before I go to the next chapter. We are probably in what some would consider, if AA was a sport, we've just entered the playoffs, okay? All right, the General Service Board has been meeting in July and October, and they have their third quarterly meeting next weekend. Not this weekend, but the following. The agenda for the General Service Conference, and if you're a new GSR, you might have no idea what that is because we haven't gotten to that chapter. But your most important job, some would say, is to let your group know what's going on in AA. And if you're a new GSR, I just want to throw out a little timeline for you. Sometime around the beginning of February, around February 15th, the final conference agenda of the General Service Conference and background material will be distributed. Now, you don't know what background material is, probably. And that's okay. I just want to let you know to write that down. That in the next 3 weeks, the agenda and the background material are coming out. And sometime between February and April, your area will have an assembly. They might even have a separate event that's just dedicated to going over the agenda items for the conference. And you as a GSR, one of your most important jobs is to let your area delegate know how your group feels about some of those issues. But you're going to look at those issues and it's going to blow your mind because it's going to be, what do I do with this? Someone just handed me the Declaration of Independence. It's like, so long, what am I going to do with it? And if you're new, I just want to, if I can find this quickly, I just got to go to my AA folder, but I saved something the other day so that I could show it tonight. Let's see. Okay. So for anybody who's a new GSR or new to service, who's never seen a General Service Conference agenda, here's the agenda for the 68th General Service Conference. And this is what it looks like. And it has every conference committee. And you'll notice that there's like 100 agenda items. And how are you going to go through this with your group? It looks pretty overwhelming, all of these items. And then each area handles background differently. I'm just going to just show you so you know what background looks like. But this is what background looks like in the modern digital age. This is the literature background matching the agenda that I just showed you. It shows you who's on the literature committee at the conference. It shows you who's a first year and second year delegate. It even shows you what room they're meeting in. It then lists out everything. Look at literature that year, A to S. And then what do we have? Agenda item A. It clearly states out what the agenda item is. And then what it will usually show you is how it came in, who sent it in. And here you can see in the first two or three pages of background, you can usually say, where did this come from? And here you can see it comes from a request from District 29 in Texas. And then it'll just give you a lot of background in our history and our archives and previous conferences that have dealt with the same issue. But that's a lot to handle if you were elected GSR like 8 weeks ago. So I just want to tell you, this is coming in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So find someone, email your delegate, email your DCM, email your area chair, and find out how your area handles the agenda and handles background. Find out how does your area get feedback for the delegate to take to the General Service Conference. Because we don't think about it a lot, but the calendar is not always our friend this time of year in AA. Because you might have two business meetings, tops, before the General Service Conference, February and March. So you have to have a plan as to how you're going to get your group involved. And you saw that agenda I gave you, and I just want to give, if you're a new GSR, I'm going to bring it up again one more time to just give you a little experience. See this whole agenda? I'm not saying a lot of things are not important. They're all important. But some of them are more important to people who really like general service. The trick with your group is to find things in this agenda that they really want to talk about. And to go through this with someone who's familiar with it, and find out what are the really hot button topics for this year. That's what you really want to find out. I mean, let's face it. Last year, we had a couple of really hot button topics. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who did not think that their groups needed a GSR who are now all pissed off that they didn't get a word into AA's group conscience. So that's what we're trying to avoid here. We want to include as many in the group conscience process as possible. The reason I showed you those documents is it can be a little overwhelming. And sometimes I'm not sure we really appreciate that. So like I said, find out what the process is in your area. You don't have to become a perfect GSR overnight, but don't let the conference process blow by you because you're not sure about how exactly to be a GSR. Talk to someone in your area or district who's familiar, who can tell you the timeline of what happens between now and April. So I'm going to go on to DCM. The chapter is titled The District and Its District Committee Member. And it says right in the beginning, two types of districts. I always say for an organization who has a slogan of keep it simple, we have struggled with that in service for sure. Because we call it the district and district committee member. And the first thing we say is two types of districts. The district is part of an area, one of 93 areas that make up the US and Canada General Service Conference. Below are the two types of districts. So I think it's easy to understand. We have geographical and we have linguistic. We have Spanish districts in many areas. We have Polish districts in some areas. There are lots of linguistic districts. But I want to stress about the DCM and the district is this is where not knowing how your area operates will really affect you as a new GSR and as a new DCM. See, it's easy to talk about GSRs because now in basically every area, the GSR has a vote. But we have so many different types of district structures. We have some areas that have large districts. We have some areas that have lots of districts. We have some areas that have districts with sub-districts. Then we have some areas that have districts with zones. Like there's a zone above the district and a zonal leader. So I really want to stress that you should know what area, how your area operates. It says, what does it mean to be a DCM? And I just want to read this because I believe it. It says, a district committee member or DCM plays a vital role in general service. While the GSR is the voice of the group, the DCM is the voice of a district. A district needs a leader. The GSRs will look to the DCM for guidance on being GSRs and serving their groups. I don't think I'm talking out of school here. If you happen to run into a past delegate or trustee who goes way back, I'm talking like early 90s, 80s, 70s. I would ask you to talk to them because my interaction with them, they all say one thing all the time that they seem to all agree on, which is that the district has kind of lost its importance in the AA service structure, and they're not really sure how that happened. The district is the glue between the group and the area. And I mean that whether you have zones, sub-districts, big districts, whatever. But for geographical districts, the district was the boots on the ground. They were the women and men that were most familiar with that local geography, most familiar with how many correctional facilities are there, how many treatment centers, how many high schools, how many courts, how many probation offices, and I could go on and on. And if you need an example of, if people say, well, that's not really true anymore, or what he's saying isn't true, I'll give you an example. The number of area officers we have today compared to 40 years ago is like double. Double in most areas. Today we have an alternate everything. And today we've split jobs and added to areas. And so now we have kind of a promotion process that I'm not really sure we were ever supposed to have, where you go from one job to the other, and it's supposed to be almost automatic. Going back 30 or 40 years ago, it was very common for a DCM to become alternate delegate or area chair, to come right from the ranks of the district chairs and DCMs. In fact, that's why in many areas today, it's still a rule that you have to be a DCM or had been a DCM before you stand. That's how critical and important the DCM in district was in AA service. It says, what does it mean to be a good DCM or a DCM, someone who can put their opinions aside in favor of listening and supporting the district GSRs? I would tell you, in my opinion, the most important job of a DCM is to help GSRs and then to hold the area officers accountable. That's their number one job. That they have experience in general service, they have a little institutional history, they've been going to assemblies for a couple of years now, but their number one job is to help new GSRs, to make new GSRs feel welcome, to share experience with new GSRs. And if you are a new GSR and you wrote down a note about your about the agenda coming out in the background material, it is your DCM that you want to talk to. That is the person who can help you the most. It has qualifications for DCM, but I just want to warn you, please get your district handbook, your district guidelines, or whatever your area calls it, because there are a lot of terms that I could throw out. I could throw out district chair. What's that? Well, that's the chairperson of a bunch of DCMs. Oh, well, then I could throw out the term DCMC. What's that? That's district committee member chair. Oh, what about county DCM? Oh, we have some areas that have a county structure and they have a county DCM. It would be impossible. And the other thing I want to encourage anyone who happens to be a DCM here or a GSR, if your area doesn't have a handy little guidebook for new people to service to understand how your area operates, don't let that stop you from your district having a handy little piece of literature that you could give to new GSRs. It's super important that we find it a way to make it as easy as possible for people to learn. In most areas, DCMs have a vote at the assembly. I don't want to say all, because every time I say all, someone sends me a message in the chat that your area doesn't have. So I've learned you don't say all in the 93 areas. But for the most part, DCMs have a vote and a voice at your general, at your area assembly and at your district meeting. But yet we have some areas where there's more than one DCM at a district meeting, because they have zones or sub-districts, so it can get really confusing. It's super important that you understand how your area and your district operates. Your district will probably have a secretary and probably have a treasurer and probably have an alternate district chair or alternate DCM. That's very common. Your district may have committee members like public information, corrections. In some areas of the US and Canada, each district supplies somebody to the area public information committee, corrections committee, treatment committee, accessibilities committee. In other areas, each district has its own committee for that work. But it's important that you find out which kind you are. And then the other thing I want to talk about is sometimes in AA, we get so caught up in rules and jurisdiction. I like to go with the philosophy that the first AA committee had two people, and we had one committee, and it worked just fine. We didn't create new committees to have more rules or to argue about whose job is which. We created committees because we had so much work to do. But then we have this thing called intergroups or central offices, which are not part of the general service structure. But it's very, very common on a district level to run into them. So if you're a new GSR, I just want to pass on some helpful information. If anyone tells you that intergroups are not part of Alcoholics Anonymous, just run away from them in the other direction and don't go to them for help anymore. We need to do all we can to get rid of that kind of belief inside Alcoholics Anonymous. Intergroups existed long before the general service structure. They do great work. They're just not part of the general service structure. But I mention it during the district section because there's a lot of overlapping work or committee work that could happen because the boundaries of a district and a central office or intergroup are the same geography. And if you are a DCM or a district chair or a DCMC or a county DCM, I would just really suggest that you have a really good working relationship with your intergroup. Or you might have multiple intergroups. And then let's bring in H&I. If you happen to be towards the west side of the country, particularly in California, but a couple of other states, there is another service entity called Hospitals and Institutions. They're not intergroup or central office. They're not general service, but they're AA as well. And when you're a district chair, DCM, it's just super important because you're the local boots on the ground that you're familiar with everybody who's providing some kind of AA service in the geography that you are currently working in. With that, before I go to questions, I really want to stress that if you are new to service, the great thing about the digital age is you don't got to usually wait for something to be mailed to you. When we go over the assembly next week, you could go on your area website and you might be able to get your own guidelines. Or you can talk to your DCM or somebody else between now and next week and find out how many assemblies do you have a year. Are you a one-day or a one-weekend assembly? And then we're going to complicate things talking about the area committee after that. But you can do a little homework. And my experience is there are people out there who want to help. It's just the phone is heavy sometimes. The keyboard seems to not be as heavy. Unfortunately for AA members who tend to, because of our, temptation to be a keyboard assassin, I sometimes wish the keyboard was heavier than the phone. But you can get all the help you need. And as we're going through the area assembly next week, the other thing I just want to say before we go to questions is if you came in late, to remember, this is going to be translated into Spanish starting next week, every week until we're done. It'll be a separate audio channel. It'll be clear. It'll be very simple. It'll be a choice on your screen. If you've never been in a Zoom meeting that's done that before, we will be able to very easily tell you where to go and how to either get English or Spanish. So with that, Dee, I'm going to go to questions. I see a few here.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and I'll send you a couple as you're looking at them.
Somebody asked me, are you going to cover anything regarding introduction? Because it seems in FAQ number 3, there's no difference between AWS, AA Grapevine, and GSO. Is that so? The person who asked that question, that's a great question. The reason I don't want to go into it now is because there's separate chapters on all of those, and I want to give those the time they deserve, which is why I said that I've gotten now a person. When we get to certain places, I'm going to have a staff member speak. I'm going to have a past Class A, a past regional trustee, a past general service trustee, a past appointed committee member, and a past trustee at large. And then the difference between AA Grapevine, GSO, and AAWS, those are very technical legal things. I'm going to share with you, we'll use the charts in the book, and I'm going to share with you some very friendly kind of color-coded charts to understand the difference, because they are independent. I could even look at your question when you say, there's almost no difference between AAWS, AA Grapevine, and GSO. Well, I can tell you that GSO and AAWS are really the same thing. There's no legal entity called GSO. It's just a building. But the reason I don't want to go into them now is because it's very complicated and I did not want to start confusing people. Will the role of the GSR change going forward with the newly formatted virtual groups who haven't elected GSR? The members are from all over the place, many districts. How will they be recognized? Leslie, if I answered your question, I would be worth $1 million in many AA assemblies right now. This is something that we are going to have to tackle as a fellowship. Someone actually asked me a question. Is there a third type of district now, a virtual district? There probably is. But what I could tell you is, I can't solve the problems about group participation and digital groups because it's just too complicated a subject. And the one thing I will tell you is, even if they reprint the new service manual next year, just because the General Service Conference decided that they were going to list virtual groups does not mean any of the 93 areas have to let them participate. There were already areas that let virtual groups participate before that decision last year. But each of the 93 areas is going to have to decide how they deal with this virtual district issue. Where do I find my group's history? You could check with your area archivist. There are area archivists that keep group histories from in the past. You might want to check any old timers at your group. You might want to go in the closet that no one's cleaned out in the church basement you meet in, where there's like 6 old files stuck in boxes. It's amazing the gold you can find in there. My area has a problem obtaining a 2/3 majority of GSRs for assembly voting. The leadership is now proposing a motion to remove that requirement that specifies the number of GSRs present must be double the number of officers and other voting leaders and conduct business without meeting that requirement. My thoughts. My thoughts is ask your delegate how they would feel if the trustees wanted to remove the requirement of the General Service Conference having to be 2/3 delegates or more. I don't think they would be that happy to do that. But your area can do whatever it wants to do, but you're tilting the triangle far from being upside down if the groups are not the largest, you know, group of voters at your assembly. Will the agenda be posted on AA website or in box 459? No, you have to get it from your delegate or your district chair or your DCM. So you should reach out to them as soon as possible and find out in your area how they distribute the agenda and the background material. Let's see. You said GSRs are the boss of those who sit on that. I said dais. The front table. A lot of areas tend to use big front tables. Somebody asked me, what are the DCMs the bosses of? Well, the GSRs and the DCMs, they're at the top of the upside down triangle that we looked at 2 weeks ago. They're the top. You're the largest group of voters at your assembly, usually. It's your permission that is needed for the assembly to conduct business and get approval on doing business. What has been your experience with past delegates that take a position as GSR, DCM, or in a group rep? Well, I'll just stick with the in-a-group rep is not general service. So maybe somebody in general service decided to try in-a-group service, and I guess that's okay. My position with I don't know why a past delegate would hold any of those positions again. I think a past delegate's job is to be the leader of the pep rally, the leader of the cheering section, of getting new people involved in service, not finding ways so I can still have a vote. So that's my thoughts on that. Lots of people feel differently than I do. In our district, GSRs cannot make a motion, only DCMs. Why? That's a great question. I don't know why, because I don't know the answers to everything. But that's why I suggested that you get your area handbook and your area guidelines and whatever else they call it, so that you can find out how your area operates, because there's just too many out there. Let's see. Somebody said to me, there's a difference. 93 delegates show up at the General Service Conference. GSRs aren't as reliable. Well, you know what? 93 delegates show up at the General Service Conference because they're fully funded and paid, and they don't have to go out of pocket, and they get treated like royalty. Maybe if we treated GSRs like we treat the delegates when they go to the General Service Conference, more would show up. Maybe if we made it economically easier for GSRs to go to assemblies and to stay in hotels and travel that distance, maybe we wouldn't have 2/3. But our conference structure is all based on the conference charter. And the conference charter is clear. And so is concept 4. I'll just read concept 4 for a second, just so I'm not paraphrasing. Throughout our conference structure, we ought to maintain at all responsible levels a traditional right of participation, taking care that each classification, meaning each type of trusted servant, or group of world servants shall be allowed a voting representation in reasonable proportion to the responsibility it discharges. So the reasonable proportion for delegates is 2/3, because the conference charter says that Bill and Bob left AA to the groups. And so I get it that people want to change the rules because GSRs aren't showing up, but that seems like the easy way out to me. Just change the rules rather than, I guess I can end it by saying this, that I've been to, 500 or more service events in my AA lifetime. And I'm including all kinds of events. And in a lot of those events, they have an ask it basket or a question and answer period. And one of the most common questions we get all the time is, what do we do about apathy? What do we do about no participation? And I'm to the point now where I think that question is kind of useless, because our big book does not talk about taking other people's inventory. It talks about taking our own inventory. And so while it may be easy to change the voting rules so you can do business, why not take the harder road and take your own inventory? Like, what are we doing as an area that GSRs don't want to show up? What are we doing as an area that's kind of pushing GSRs away? What can we change in our own behavior as an area to make participation better? I would much rather focus on those things than changing the rules just so officers can control a vote. Let's see. I'll put my email in just so the person who asked that knows. Is it going against tradition one if the delegate doesn't distribute the agenda items and the background information, but the DCM distributes it? I wouldn't say it's going against the rules or anything like that. Every area has a different way of distributing background information. I know there are a few areas that are still clinging on to the old, we don't need any input from anybody else. I think those days are coming to an end. I think people want information today. I get it. We want to go from the delegate to the DCM to the group, but it's 2022. The delegates have a portal. It's called the delegate dashboard. They can go into that GSO portal and they can click and get any of the background or any of the agendas. I think it's pretty easy today for a district or an area to do that with many software applications. I personally believe we should make it as easy as possible for people to get the agenda and the background material. Our DCM announced an invitation to join her in visiting some dark meetings in our area. Have you heard of those? Yeah, I've heard the term. It means an inactive district. I don't know why we don't just call it an inactive district. We don't call an active district a light district. I don't know why we call an inactive district a dark district. But it is very common for servants to go to inactive districts or groups and try to get them to participate. That's good old AA service. Here's a question. What are we saying to our GSRs when we fund the past delegates to come to area assemblies, but tell the GSRs to ride together and bunk on the floor with sleeping bag together at assemblies because their group can't afford assemblies? Well, I would say this, there's too many groups and there's way too many meetings. And people don't realize this when they split apart and form new groups. Of course, there's a time and a place when a new group needs to be started. But sometimes I think people don't think about the economics of a new group. Now there's two rents. Now there's two anniversary cakes. Now there's two GSRs who need to go to a weekend assembly. But I think a lot of groups make the mistake of not putting the cost of fully funding a GSR in their annual budget to make sure that we never want people to only serve an AA service based on their economic condition. We should never do that. So I don't believe the area. I think the area's decision to fund past delegates is up to the area, but the GSRs have a vote in that and can change it. But if your group doesn't have the funds to fund you to go to a assembly, then you really have to ask yourself what's wrong with your group and the seventh tradition. What is the difference between district member and district chair? I love your question. I just want to let you know that without your 93 separate handbooks, it would be impossible for me to define them in your area. In general, where there is a district chair, there's usually some kind of sub-district or zone, and the district chair chairs the meeting of all the DCMs and sub-districts. But it could be one of the many different structures out there. Is the point of talking about a hot button topic to refresh what exists or discover change? Well, I just think, let me give an example. When you're approving the slate of the AA World Service Board, which is on the conference agenda, I'm not really sure that gets the blood going of the average person in your home group. But if you're talking about creating a plain language big book or changing the preamble, people might be interested in putting a half hour time aside and discussing issues like that. That's the point I was trying to make. How do you feel about a district using their leftover money from last year to fund GSRs to attend an area assembly whose groups don't have the fund to send them? I'm not really in favor for that. The district has money because groups gave them that money to serve the district, not to fund other groups. And so when we start funding other groups, we're eroding the seventh tradition in those other groups, and they're not self-supporting. So I think it's problematic. I couldn't take on an area position due to not being able to drive. It seems to me driving and economics are more important to service than willingness to serve. Your thoughts? My thoughts are that there's lots of challenges out there regarding accessibility, and I hope that we can get better and better at it. And I know that AA is not perfect, but our goal should be to try to be as accessible as possible. Now, driving becomes an issue. It could be in many reasons. Medically, somebody can't drive. Legally, they can't drive. But economics is the one that probably bothers me the most. No AA servant should be dependent upon social position to serve. They just shouldn't. Last question. Hold on, I lost it. Oh yeah, here it is. Billy, question, what is the percentage numbers for service outside the home group? I hear that 10% of the members do 100% of the service. I'm not sure I believe those numbers. I hear numbers like that thrown around all the time. I happen to see a lot of people that seem to care about Alcoholics Anonymous. And if we spend our time caring or focusing on the people that don't want to care about Alcoholics Anonymous, it's kind of like a waste of my time. And it's also disrespectful of the people who are doing service. Why do we spend so much of our time focused on the people who aren't here instead of being thankful for the people who are here? And so I don't know if that number is true. Someone just sent one last question. I will carry your explanation of GSR as our boss coming to visit our office. Thank you for that. It simplifies it to the point of easy understanding and focus. How do you recommend we begin to ensure this in both our district and areas? I think the pendulum always swings. The upside down triangle tilts from side to side. Sometimes the groups start to micromanage the area and the area officers push back. Other times the area officers have decided to maybe be not respectful of the groups in the districts, and the groups in the districts push back. I think, you know, the easiest way to have a healthy relationship of the upside down triangle is to just make sure that everyone has an equal voice and vote at the district and at the assembly. And the other thing is to make sure that at your assembly or district are the same voices dominating every conversation. And if they are, why is that? And this is where I struggle with service sponsorship. If service sponsorship is me answering a question for somebody, or a new trustee calling me and saying, Billy, you are a trustee, could I call you every once in a while and could you help me with this? Then that's great. But when I see service sponsorship being dictatorial, or telling people what to do, or editing motions, or telling people what position they have to serve in before they get another, that just seems very controlling to me. And the worst thing about service sponsorship is when it becomes like a political action committee at an assembly. Oh, that's all so-and-so's sponsees, and they all vote the same way. It was never supposed to be that. I tell people all the time, because this is what I was taught. If I really want solid evidence that I did my job helping somebody with service, then someday in the future, they will gladly raise their hand and vote opposite than me in some AA group conscience, and I will gladly respect them that they took the time, studied the same information, read the same literature, and they just came up with a different position than me, then I did my job. If what I'm doing is emailing, calling people behind the scenes, trying to rearrange everything, well, there's a section in another book I've read. It talks about being the director. It talks about playing God. And sometimes I think if we brought a little bit more of that book into service, we would all be a lot better off. Dee, did you just ask me a question?
I sure did. If you'll take a look at that, I was going to post. I just wanted to remind you for those asking.
Oh, yeah. I'll just tell everyone. So, and I'll just say it again. I'll post my Venmo. A couple of people have sent a couple of small amounts, but we had enough people who contributed that we knew we would at least have half the money to pay for our interpreters for the whole thing going like 4 months. But this is a gathering like on my backyard. So it's not an AA meeting or an AA group. Our interpreters will be paid. If you feel like you want to send a couple of dollars in, my Venmo will be posted, but it's no requirement of that. very thankful. I want to thank Emily tonight. She's our professional ASL interpreter tonight. Emily, thank you very much. Next week, just so you can pass it on, we will have a professional interpreter, and the interpreter will be someone who has interpreted many of the world service meetings for Alcoholics Anonymous. So it's somebody very familiar with AA lingo and a professional interpreter. So it'll be top-notch professional standard. So please let any Spanish districts or anybody know who want to come. And Dee, with that, unless you have any other announcements, I'm going to close with the responsibility statement.
Nope, I think we're good. Thank you.
Awesome. After a moment of silence, we will close with the responsibility statement. I am responsible. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Stay safe.